This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, also Sirius XM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join me on the Goodyear Hotline. NBA Finals, Game 6 tonight. That's on ESPN Radio. Oh, so much at stake. Giannis. About to become champion? Finals MVP? Can Chris Paul force a Game 7? Does it have to be Chris Paul who forces a Game 7? I don't think it has to be Chris Paul who has the game of his life. But then they get to a Game 7, he has to have the game of his life. Like, Chris Paul cannot be a reason they lose a Game 6. Cannot be. And it would he'd do well to win that. So much of his legacy is on the line. It's the greatest thing about sports. These guys are writing the script before our very eyes. Oh, you can't say his whole career boils down to... Oh, shut up. That's not what I'm saying. I know he's great either way, but will he ever be a champion? This is it. Never going to get a better shot than this. Meantime, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776, the Los Angeles Rams got some very bad news today. I talked about it with head coach Sean McVay in the first segment. You can download the podcast and listen to it in the first hour, if you missed it. Cam Akers, who came on like gangbusters at the end of the second half of last year. Does anyone say came on like gangbusters anymore? I have a lot of old-timey expressions. See, I'm 40. I'll be 48 in a month, but my father was born in 1938. So, like, I have expressions that I heard growing up around my house, like, from the 40s and 50s. And I still use them. Came on like gangbusters, see? Anyway, boy, did this kid come on at the second half of last year. I really thought Cam Akers was going to be a top five or six running back this year. You know, Saquon, McCaffrey, Kamara, Dalvin Cook. I thought he was going to fit right in, like five or six on the list, like being that first tier of running back. Oh, he was so good. Oh, this is a killer for him to miss this year, especially for him, of course, but also for the Rams because McVay got Stafford. They traded a former number one overall in Goff, plus two firsts, plus a third for Stafford. They got an excellent offensive line. They got Aaron Donald on defense. They have Ramsey, like, they got great players on the defense. A great young head coach, already been to a Super Bowl, knows what to do with a three-down back and a quarterback, right? Like, what that running back can do to that quarterback. Like, think about what Gurley make Goff look like. Now imagine if Akers picked up where he left off last year, what Stafford would look like. Oh, it's a killer for the Rams. Still going to be in the thick of things, don't get me wrong. But, ooh, they were, I don't know. If I had to say Super Bowl favorites, they were top five. Are they still top five? He ruptured his Achilles, Cam Akers. He did it while working out, underwent testing, confirmed the injury. A source told ESPN's Adam Schefter he's going to miss the entire. He's expected to miss the entire 2021 season. In 13 games last year, Akers was the Rams' leading rusher, 625 yards, two touchdowns on 145 carries. He caught 11 passes for 123 yards and a touchdown. But second half of the season is when it was like, whoa. In two playoff appearances, Akers averaged almost 5 yards a carry and 110 yards a game. It's a big workload and high production per carry. Ooh, brutal. Meantime, Aaron Rodgers, the Packers apparently leaked to the press that Aaron Rodgers had a two-year offer, a two-year extension offer would have made him the highest. But look, I think the Packers realize Rodgers is out of there. So they're like, oh, we tried to give him a two-year extension on top of his 3 years left. That would make 5 years altogether. He'd be the highest paid player ever. Packers realize he's out of there. And so rather than try to convince him to stay, at this point, they're up to trying to make them look good and themselves look good in the media. That's how I read that. I mean, of course, when Adam Schefter tweets out, Rodgers declined the offer, proof it's not about the money, that could also come from Rodgers, right? Like, it's not about the money for me. We have Mike Tannenbaum coming up in a few minutes. I'm going to sneak in some callers first. Emilio in Los Angeles, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max. I just want to talk about the Cam Akers injury. I think it's a huge blow, but I don't think on the surface it's as bad as I initially thought it to be. When you look at the Shanahan scheme, the history of that, look at Kyle Shanahan, the Super Bowl. Jared McKinnon was supposed to be the dude in San Francisco.
Yep.
He goes down, enter Raheem Mostert, and boom. And nobody knew who he was, and he came onto the scene, NFC Championship, and also in the Super Bowl. I think the same thing can happen for the Rams.
But, no, you're right. By the way, that's why when I asked Coach about the brand name running backs, he almost like chuckled. You know, like Todd Gurley, and they have a history in L.A., but Todd Gurley or Adrian Peterson, there's nothing more overrated by fans that like people in football are like, are they kidding, than old brand name running backs. They're like, come on, we got three guys on the roster run better than that guy right now. You bring them on for leadership and veteran presence and all that, but not for production usually. YG in Lexington, Kentucky. You're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How you doing, Max?
I just wanted to chime in
and say we need to give Budenholzer a little credit. The Bucks, they've been coming to all these series, and it usually takes them a game or two to figure it out. And then after that, the Bucks, it seems like they figure things out and they get it done. And I will say I'm a Lakers fan, but I picked the Bucks from the beginning of the playoffs.
How's this for a headline? If the Suns beat the Bucks in Game 6 and win it all in Game 7. Raj, how's this? The Bucks stop here.
Oh, I never heard that one before.
Pretty good.
That's brilliant.
That's right. I should write headlines for the New York Post.
That's right.
Tony in Arizona, you're on the Mac. He's right. Like, Budenholzer deserves credit. By the way, the credit, what Budenholzer did starting earlier in the season was rather than play five out, Giannis initiates the offense every time.
Hello?
He started doing stuff with Drew Holiday initiating the offense more, and they took one step back to take two forward. Right. They did not have a 60-win type season as they have in recent years, right? They weren't on pace for that. But as a result, he got them ready for the playoffs to play differently than the way they've been playing recently. That's where the work started for them. Budenholzer does deserve credit, and now it's Monty Williams' turn to adjust to the adjustments that have been made since Game 3. Why? I said Tony in Arizona. Go ahead, Tony.
Mike, how you doing?
Go ahead, Tony.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk about Aaron Rodgers being a baby. I think the media let the quarterbacks do this. I just feel like that they have a contract. Play your contract out. I'm in the military. I'm doing my contract. Play your contract out.
Yeah, but that's not the way it works, though. That's not the way it works. Look, all the teams have all the leverage against the players. You know, like, the players struck when I was a kid. Ratings declined like 15%. It wasn't that much. I mean, it was significant, but not as much as you'd think with scab players because no one's bigger than the brand, the shield, right? That's the way the NFL works. And since it's the only real major league of football worldwide, if you've been training your whole life to play at the highest level of football, the NFL has a monopoly, basically. You got to play by their rules, and they usually crush the players' union in negotiations in the CBA. And so the players, the way they kind of counteract the leverage is if they become important enough to their team, they can say, well, I mean, this contract says what it says, but I'm not going to play. I'll sit out. And if they stick to their guns, the team has a decision to make. So I hear what you're saying. Hey, you play out the contract. But I don't feel that way. I think this is not exactly a free and open market that the players are dealing with. So they use, and by the way, anyone in business resorts to the leverage they have, contract or no contract. Let's see. We have a lot of like regulars on this show. YG has become a regular. Have you noticed that, Raj, in Kentucky? YG and Richard in Manhattan and Andre in Massachusetts. I see them there. But I know we have to get to Mike Tannenbaum in a second. And then Shimei. Is it Shimei? Yeah, Shimei is a new one.
Shimei.
Shimei,
Max.
Go ahead, Shimei.
Yeah,
Shimei, you've been calling in recently. Go ahead, Shimei. How is it that the regulars always get through? It's amazing. Go ahead, Shimei.
I love you, Max. You're one of the great analysts on ESPN.
Right.
But listen.
Excellent point.
Is Green Bay going to lose their credibility if, like you said earlier in the show, that they need to beg Rodgers or say, oh, well, he's our boss. He's our boss. You mm-hmm. think they're going to lose their credibility that way?
Not at all. If anything, great players are going to want to play there. Like, and by the way, I'm not saying like, let's say like Matthew Stafford is not the boss in L.A. He ain't Aaron Rodgers. Josh Allen's really good. He ain't the boss. Let me tell you who the bosses are in the NFL. There are three: Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. They can dictate to their teams if they so choose. If they so choose, they can dictate to the teams. They're that valuable. Russell Wilson's on the fence. Deshaun Watson's got off-the-field issues now. If he didn't, he'd be just about there. Josh Allen is trending in that direction. I think Justin Herbert will be there soon, but we'll see. You know, you got to be the kind of guy not only who the eyeball test says, oh, my God, but that it, you know, translates to team success. And then that guy's calling the shots like an NBA superstar. AD and James Harden called their shots. They got traded to the team they wanted. Rodgers is in that position, I believe, as Tom Brady was right now. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN, NFL front office insider on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike, we've been talking Aaron Rodgers to death, but people are interested and it's ongoing. Is there any way, in your view, the Packers can salvage this relationship with Aaron Rodgers?
I do. You know, I'm always the internal optimist, and you got to hope that he doesn't want to miss regular season games, Max. You got to hope that when it's all said and done, he may be pissed at the Packer front office, and by all accounts, justifiably so. But with that said, do you want to play games? Do you really want to miss games? Here's a team that's been to the Final Four the last 2 years. So those are the sort of things that, if I'm Green Bay, that's where I'm holding out hope for.
And how would you go about that? You know, like I what I've heard people allude to is this idea that there's so much guaranteed money right now. It's like such a cap hit that realistically it's too devastating to trade him at this moment. So you go to Rodgers and you say, okay, we will trade you at the end of the season, so we avoid that cap hit, but you got to come back and play now and we'll trade you to the team of your choosing. Something like that. Is that how it works? Like, how does it work?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think I was involved in a situation where we traded for Brett Favre a decade ago. And basically they said to Favre, look, we'll trade you, but not to any NFC team. And candidly, that's one of the main reasons he was a Jet, is because he really wanted to go to Tampa. So there's definitely ways you could say, hey, look, let's shorten your contract. We'll reduce the last 2 years, max. At the end of this year, you'll be a free agent. We'll franchise you. And then we'll work together where you can get a new contract and we'll get compensation. But we're certainly going to have a meaningful say where you go. You're just not walking out the door. And again, I think it bears repeating, you know, Tom Brady had a detailed, orchestrated approach that worked because he was a free agent. This is different. This is a player that's still under contract who's upset.
Talking to Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. I think about the two destinations for Rodgers. I think Denver, and like, oh my God, has there ever been a division with quarterbacks on the level of Mahomes, Rodgers, and Herbert all at the same time? That's, I mean, Carr is no slouch, but he's not on that level. And then I think about, what if he gets traded in the NFC? Is this one of the reasons that New Orleans is being coy about who's going to start? Could you imagine Aaron Rodgers in a dome on that Saints team with weapons, a defense, everything, in the same division as Tom Brady? Like, Mike, the idea of him in either place that I just mentioned, I think makes the NFL more interesting.
Yeah, I totally agree. And by the way, imagine if he goes to Denver. Like, I think they're certainly, if not the favorite, one of the favorites to win the whole thing. When you think about, that's a really good defense. They have a ton of young skill players, Max. And just to get out of that division will be Herculean, like you said, because you got the upstart in Herbert. You got Mahomes. It'd be incredible. And I agree. He goes to the Saints. Could you imagine Brady versus Rodgers in the same division?
It's so good. It's so good. I'm just thinking about when I eyeball test, Mike, I don't know if you agree or not, you tell me, but when I, you know, Josh Allen's talented, Lamar Jackson's talented in their ways, right? When I think of the most talented guys, I think tier one by themselves is Mahomes and Rodgers. If I had to take the next guy, I think I'd say Herbert based on what I saw last year. The three of those guys in the same division, the three most talented guys. And I think I'd make it better than 50-50. He's going to wind up in Denver.
Yeah, and if I'm Green Bay, that's where, candidly, that's where I want him. I don't want him in New Orleans. I don't want him anywhere close to our conference. So if I'm Green Bay and I could come out of this with, let's say, call it one or two first-round picks and Drew Locke, now I have Jordan Love, I got Drew Locke, and I have two first-round picks. That gives me four opportunities to replace Aaron Rodgers. So, look, it's far from ideal to trade Aaron Rodgers, but if you're Green Bay, that's a pretty good, you know, situation to put yourself into.
Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. How big a blow is Cam Akers' injury for the Rams this upcoming season?
I think it's significant for a couple of reasons. One, he's a good young player, but two, you know, no team has bigger question marks on their depth than they do. When you think about how top heavy they are between Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Matt Stafford, they still got Goff's dead money. So they're really, of all the teams, it's probably the one that's could at least afford a significant injury. And I think Akers was this young ascending player. And look, I don't think it's, you know, it's not the end of the world by any stretch, but you know, we've been talking about just over the 17-game season, just given the fact that they haven't had a first-round pick in 5 years, given the fact that they have Goff's dead money, they really are hamstrung from a cap perspective.
And talking about, you know, like what a premier running back does, and Akers was trending in that direction at least, he saves you a roster spot at least if he can be a three-down back. But also I think about what McVay has done, Mike, what he did with Gurley plus Goff. And if Akers can start giving you Gurley kind of production and make the things available to the quarterback that Gurley made available to Goff, but now that quarterback Stafford, that line looks really good, not deep but really good, and the defense has playmakers on it. Like, do you think, are they still among the handful of kind of Super Bowl favorites even after this injury?
No, not for me, just because I'm not as big a believer in Stafford, because mm-hmm. at some point you got to win a playoff game. Mm-hmm. And he was in Detroit, and I understand there were limitations there. But look, Mark Sanchez, who by all accounts was a good, not great quarterback, won four playoff games with us. And just given the fact that you have these, you know, up until now, six playoff teams, and you're in Detroit for over a decade, Max, and you can't win a single playoff game.
It's a real thing.
I just look at that division. I like San Francisco better, and I like Seattle better. So I actually think the Rams are the third best team in the West.
So that's really a commentary on Stafford, because if you look at the overall team, I mean, Seattle's defense should get better. They have guys coming back off injury. San Francisco, same thing. So is that commentary like you believe more in whoever's under center in San Francisco and Russell Wilson than Matt Stafford, or you like the overall teams better?
I think it's a little bit of both, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jimmy Garoppolo is like 24-8 as a starter. Now, look, I get it. He can't stay healthy. I understand that, Max, but that's a really good team, especially if Nick Bosa comes back. I think Nick Bosa is an absolute superstar, and they're another team that has great young skill players, and I think Trey Lance has a chance to be really good. But this year, if Garoppolo can stay healthy, they're going to be tough to beat. And then, you know, look, Russell Wilson, you know, if we had to go, if you and I were running a franchise and we had to go win one football game, I'm taking Wilson over Stafford. And
yeah, sure.
Look, I get how great Aaron Donald is and Jalen Ramsey. I'm taking nothing away from them. But again, as you mentioned, like their offensive line, you know, very thin. Whitworth is getting up there, you know, just in terms of age. And, you know, look, there's going to be a lot of other injuries. That's the unfortunate part of our sport. But with Akers getting hurt and we're sitting here, we're not even in training camp, it just highlights what is a real concern for them.
Yeah, and you mentioned Garoppolo, and they're telling me I got a rap. But, Mike, Garoppolo's not only 24-8-8, including the playoffs, but he's doing that for a team that is almost exactly the opposite without him. There's something like in the vicinity of 8-24 when he's been out, and 24-8 when he's been in. So it's not like he's doing this for an otherwise 500 team. He's doing this for, like, Garoppolo, I think, is a little slept on. Mike Tannenbaum, ladies and gentlemen, ESPN NFL front office insider on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, which is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Coming up, has CP3 run out of gas? That is the question. Ooh, he's got to show up tonight. Recent data shows that out of all the female-owned businesses, it's estimated that one in three is owned by a mom. CEO and founder Talia Goldstein is one such mompreneur. I wonder how many of all the mail-owned businesses are owned by a dad. What are the odds? What are the numbers there? At any rate, Talia Goldstein needs to hire several matchmakers a month for her personalized matchmaking company. So she uses ZipRecruiter. The technology helps her find the right people for her job quickly. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Kellerman. That's ZipRecruiter.com/KELLERMAN. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
I think it's the best chance for both of these squads to win over the next few years.
How do you intimidate the Bucks?
I think if you're the Bucks, nothing scares you.
They've taken game 5. The Bucks with a chance to win a championship at home Tuesday night.
Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, also on Sirius XM Channel 80, wherever you get your podcasts, smart speakers. It's everywhere. Anywhere there's communication, you find this show. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. The NBA Finals are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 6 as the Bucks host the Suns, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. What do the Suns have to do to extend this series? I mean, I'm surprised how many people are counting them out. Surprised isn't the right word. I understand that they lost the last 2 games, but they were by single plays, one possession. It took some of the greatest plays in the history of basketball to beat the Suns by a single possession, both at home and on the road, for the Bucks. You tell me that the Suns can't win a game at Milwaukee? Sure they can. Chris Paul, and especially Dylan, Chris Paul has to play well. He has to play well. Don't go out like that, CP3. Don't go out like that. You can't go out in a game 5 where you would have had the ball back with 15 seconds left, down 3. Where you have DeAndre Ayton plus 4 shooters on the floor, all of whom can handle, given their, like, Chris Paul can handle for a 1, Booker can handle for a 2, Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, 4 3 and D players can handle. Like, wherever you look, or if it's Jay Crowder, wherever you look, there's going to be a shooter on the floor with DeAndre Ayton. You mean to tell me they couldn't have scored 3 points in 15 seconds? Held for a last shot, drilled to 3. Scored a quick bucket. Even if it's not an and one, make it a 1-point game. Foul Giannis. Or foul, the guy misses a free throw, come down and tie the game or hit a 3 to win. Like, lots of stuff could happen. It's unlikely. I mean, not that it's some remote possibility, but, you know, the odds are very much in favor of the team up 3 with 15 seconds. But play, you know, that is doable. Down 3 with 15 seconds and the other team at the free throw line is, you know, almost never happens that the team down 3 wins. And that's what Chris Paul, that's the situation he created. A dangerous and stupid foul on Giannis where he could not ensure that Giannis wouldn't score on that play. He had really no chance to stop him from scoring. And it was also a dangerous play. Under other circumstances, it would be considered a cheap shot, like a dirty play. Wasn't there because that wasn't the intention. Everyone knew, but Giannis was up in the air. So, a dangerous play, a play with virtually no chance to succeed, and then you foul him and end the game, basically. Chris Paul has to make up for that. Or that's one of the reasons he'd never be champ. Like, maybe he could be a third wheel or something on a team that eventually wins a championship when he's no longer at his best. But while he's still in or around his prime, as one of the 2 best players on the team, that championship will mean much more. His legacy is being written right now. Oh, 1 game? Yeah. So if Muhammad Ali would have just gotten knocked out by George Foreman, oh, 1 fight? Yeah, that would have changed his legacy. Still a great fighter, still important and everything, but different. Not as great. Chris Paul going to be relegated to the category of John Stockton and Steve Nash. It's a good category. Great players, but like not champion point guards. Why is Isaiah Thomas always in the top 10? Top 5, sorry, point guards, and John Stockton isn't? Well, Isaiah could take over a game. I promise you this. I promise you this. If Isaiah Thomas never would have won a championship and Stockton would have won 2, Stockton would be in everyone's top 5 and Isaiah wouldn't be in anyone's top 5. But the fact that Isaiah did it, and on one leg he was balling too, that's why people like me, look, Stockton had more great years than Isaiah. But Isaiah did something that Stockton never did. He did it twice. Won a championship as the best player on his team. Won two championships as the best player on his team. Battled through injury. If you needed him to score 30, he'd score 30. He did what had to be done. By the way, Stockton was a great two-way player. Stockton was a better defender than Isaiah, really. But Isaiah was a champion. Stockton wasn't. And Stockton had chances. Jordan retired for 2 years. Utah didn't make the finals. Hakeem and the Rockets did. Then he finally gets to the finals with Karl Malone and Jeff Hornacek and a great coach and never gets to a Game 7 in two consecutive seasons. Can't get to a Game 7 even. Well, he ran into Jordan, but what did he do when Jordan wasn't in the league? No, you can't. You run out of excuses. Stockton wasn't a champion, and he never will be one, not in the NBA. And Isaiah always will be. That's what Chris Paul is dealing with. Now, look, if John Stockton or Steve Nash is your downside, you got it made. I know that Chris Paul's got it made in that respect, but there's a big difference. Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing, John Stockton, these guys are never, they're not even candidates for the greatest ever at their position. And the reason they're not even candidates is because they're without a ring. Charles Barkley, whether you like it or not, that's how it is. And I actually believe that that's the right way to do it. I think championships do, when the player's still great, when the player's the best player on the team, they do mean something. Chris Paul's got to make up for it. He's got to ball out. He's done it once, and like the script's not done yet. Like, we're in Act 3, but it's not over yet. Imagine if he wouldn't have played well in Game 6 in the conference finals and they would have lost in Game 7 to the Clippers. And it's like, really, Chris? Even without Kawhi in this season, you can't make it to the finals and your team is better without you than with you? Would have been devastating. But instead, he played so great in that Game 6 that they're in the finals. What if he does it again? We're all looking at the downside. What if Chris Paul balls out tonight, forces a Game 7, has a huge night, and then the Suns win Game 7 on their home floor, and Chris Paul plays well? All he needs is one great game right now. As long as his team wins the next two, he just needs one great game and no bad games right now. And Chris Paul will have burnished his legacy differently. He will be remembered differently than he would have otherwise been remembered, significantly differently. It's up to him. And there's enormous downside and enormous upside. That's drama, boy. That's what sports gives you when it's at its best. That kind of drama, can't get it anywhere else. Because in the real world, that drama has consequences. You watch the nightly news. Do people still do that? That drama has consequences. You watch scripted programming. Someone made it up. But in sports, no one made it up. They're writing their own script. And guilt-free, you can give yourself over to it emotionally. Because in the end, it's not about life and death. It's not about real-world consequences. It is the perfect entertainment when it's this, when legacies are on the line. Game 6 tonight in Milwaukee. ESPN Radio, by the way. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up, should they even attempt to play these Olympics? Supposed to be last year's Olympics, right? Last Take is next. Did you miss any of the Max Kellerman Show? Coach Sean McVay was on in the first hour. You can always find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll be right back with Last Take.
From the NBA Finals.
We got a two-time regular season MVP. We have Chris Middleton, who is Mr. Clutch.
To the NBA Draft, July 29th.
First pick in the draft, play for Oklahoma State. The kid can score from anywhere on the floor.
The analysis, the opinions, the answers. The NBA is on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow, starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, Sirius XM, Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. So the Olympics, Japan's thinking about maybe we don't have an Olympics this year. By the way, this was last year's Olympics that was supposed to, you know, take place last year. And my sense is, I hear you say, McVay, obviously I'm doing something else right now. And my sense is, we're going to get to McVay in a second. My sense about the Olympics is this. Our athletes, if they want to go compete, should go compete. They should go compete. They have to get vaccinated if they want to go compete. Not negotiable, unless they have a medical condition for some reason they can't get it. Get vaccinated, because the people who are being hospitalized now as a result of the Delta variant are so overwhelmingly the unvaccinated. Get vaccinated, everybody, and then go and compete if you want. Sean McVay, Rams head coach, on replacing Cam Akers.
I think you want to take a step back. I think the immediacy of it is your first inclination is, okay, who do we have to replace it? And then what you do feel good about is we've got some young depth on the roster, and it'll earn guys an opportunity to really see, all right, how do they handle a little bit more of a workload? How are they able to handle some competitive opportunities we'll have, whether it be in the preseason or practicing against the Cowboys and the Raiders? And so we've got some young backs on our roster that I'm intrigued about seeing how they handle this opportunity. I don't know that the veteran route is something that we would rule out, but it's not something that we're immediately looking to address right now, you know, with it just occurring yesterday to Cam.
That was Sean McVay earlier on the Max Kellerman Show here on ESPN Radio. This very program, you can download the podcast and listen away to the entire interview. Now, on to Last Take. That's going to be your take today. I'm going to get to your calls right now. And let me just tell you first that Last Take is brought to you by Dell. Upgrade your business during Dell Technologies Black Friday and July event. Get savings up to 50% off and take your office with you with Windows 10 Pro. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Oh, we got a bunch of regulars on the phone. Richard in Manhattan, let's start with you.
Max, if Giannis gets it done, just think of it. He got it done twice. Three times they were behind in series. Three times. 2-0 to the Nets, 2-0 to Phoenix, and 1-0 to Atlanta. That has never happened.
Well, I mean, yes, and the Nets didn't have, first they didn't have Harden, and then they didn't have Kyrie, and Harden really never came back. I mean, he was on the court, but he wasn't Harden. He was obviously hurt. But at any rate, they never had all three guys. So, like, he came back, and by the way, when it was KD and Kyrie, Giannis didn't get away. I mean, they destroyed the Bucks. So, yes, but I hate to be that guy. To be like, hey, everybody, we know that these are not the two best teams in the NBA this year. They relied on the best teams getting hurt. The Bucks were, at best, the second best team in the East, and the Suns were, at best, the third best team in the West. So we got, you know, two of the top five teams, maybe, but clearly there were a couple teams better than these two teams. Like, the Nets and the Lakers were clearly better. And their series played, you know, they were, the other team was up 2-1 without even being fully healthy. Like, the Bucks were healthy by, I mean, DiVincenzo, give me a break. It's not AD. I mean, it's not like a Kyrie or Harden. The Bucks were by and large healthy. The Suns were by and large healthy when they played the Nets and Lakers respectively. Both series, they were down 2-1. And then stars on the other teams got hurt and they came roaring back. That's what happened in these playoffs. I mean, it's great finals, but let's be honest about it. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Max, to be completely honest and concur with Richard, Giannis has the chance to secure his first championship at the age of 26. That's a year prior to LeBron James. You throw two MVPs with that and a defensive player of the year. His legacy catapults into the stratosphere. So more than Chris Paul, this finals is about Giannis Antetokounmpo at 26 and Devin Booker at 24 and their ability to secure the championship.
I gotta say, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying about checking off the boxes with Giannis, two MVPs, a defensive player of the year, finals MVP, a finals championship. Guys, we know that when he won MVPs, we know now, I wasn't sure at the time, but we know now, he was obviously and by far not the best player in the league. It was clearly demonstrated that there was a better player than him, at least one, and probably three or four, both years he won MVP. Because in the highest leverage games, those guys could still step up and be great, and there were ways to defend Giannis, and he couldn't be great. And it wasn't just about, oh, he didn't have enough help. He had help on those teams. Those weren't bad teams. You put LeBron on his team, they'd have won a championship. They would have gotten farther than they've got with Giannis. So while it's true he won a couple of MVPs and neither year was he the best player in the league, just the regular season, which doesn't count for much. And if he wins the championship this year, it is only because a team that was thrashing him, the Nets, got hurt. And I don't know that the Bucks beat the Lakers or the Clippers if they didn't get hurt. Obviously, the Suns wouldn't have. They went six games without Kawhi, and then they were losing 2-1 with AD not 100%, neither LeBron 100%, and then AD couldn't even get on the floor anymore, and then they started winning. So I hear you on Giannis. I'd feel very good for him, but let's not overstate it. He does not. Giannis does not enter the because he's the greatest center of all time, you know, in his best debate. He ain't Shaq. He ain't Kareem. Ain't Bill Russell, but he's great. There's no two ways about that. All right, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. We'll see what happens in Game 7.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.